Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Michael Hanford from What Culture, and I'm joined by Michael Sidgwick from What Culture to discuss everything that could happen on tonight's taped edition of Friday Night SmackDown. But first, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only preview and review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events, hold wrestler interviews, have roundtable discussions, and not this week, have a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Sidge, not this week, because right now in the UK, it's Friday afternoon, it's about 4:30. The wrestle culture boys would normally be getting their podcast out, but we, however, have bogarted the Friday afternoon schedule to be here live in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We're here, of course, for AEW Double or Nothing Weekend. If you only listen to our WWE content, that's why A, the sound feels a bit weird, B, there's no Wilborn, and C, we haven't had anything spoiled about this taped SmackDown because we've been busy covering everything else. This is similar to the taped Rampage stuff. We've gone in completely blind, just with a disclaimer at the start. And also, feels pertinent to mention this now, you can join myself, Sidgwick, Phil Chambers, and especially Simon Miller tonight for a live stream. Very rare that we can watch wrestling at, well, normal times. It's really hard being British. So we're going to be streaming SmackDown Live on the YouTube channel tonight. The four of us are going to be watching it. Come and watch that along with us, join in the live chat, have all that sort of fun. The links are on Twitter, so find that now. And let's talk about the card. SmackDown tonight, the go-home show to Night of Champions. As I say, it's in the can because all the wrestlers are already in Saudi Arabia for the show. But because we rarely get a chance to do this on mic, where are you at with SmackDown in general post-WrestleMania?
I think they've... It's weird. It's still a boring show. But I'll tell you what, are you ready for a good time? Yes! I get to watch wrestling with my pals in a normal time. I'm actually really looking forward to the stream. Mm-hmm. I want to see if the perspective changes, because we were talking on the Dynamite Review, which of course you can listen to wherever you get your podcasts from, and it does indeed hit different live.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to just get involved. Everything just looks more physically impressive. It pops. The atmosphere is great. You turn off your analytical brain a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always approached wrestling with this weird analytical bent. I just have. It's the way I'm wired. When people say, I just enjoy things. Okay, I enjoy watching wrestling analytically.
Let me enjoy that.
It's just the way I'm wired. But no, I'm looking forward to watching what's probably going to be a, you know, a half-decent Fed offering with pals in Vegas. And I just want to see, like, sit next to Miller, if you can give me any insight into why it's good.
Yeah, well, you've tried that with me for years. It's not worked out for you yet, has it?
Sometimes it works, but it'll be a different vibe. So now I'm looking forward to the stream, looking forward to watching it. But it's all context-dependent.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's basically the equivalent of, would I drink a... can of Carlsberg in the house?
Never.
I would never, ever, ever do that. First of all, right, if I drink beer in the house, and I see the piss all of the time, if I drink a substantial amount of beer just to get a buzz, I see a piss all the time, and that put me off drinking in the house forever until the pandemic, when I got into crafting things to eat up the day. It's perfected my margarita recipe, and it's a short buzz. You don't need a piss, and you just get drunk right straight away. So I would have a Carlsberg in the house. Not what I like to do. Would I have a nice cold pint of Carlsberg on holiday? It hits different. It's much better. I'd lash that stuff down, and that's SmackDown. It's Carlsberg at home, right? It's a nice continental lager.
I can jump on holiday. I can jump on top of one of your typically excellent analogies here, because I'm exactly the same with lager brackets general, and yet I've been sinking these $2 Bud Lights, a blue brand,
yes,
in Las Vegas, because they're $2
and it's
Vegas.
Light on quality.
Yes, that was also what I was going to say next.
No, that's class, because our $2 beers, we know why they do $2 beers. They want you to lose your inhibitions to a point where you can think, I'm going to make loads of money at that craps table. I'm going to gamble and win.
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a gambler. I have a football flutter. I just, very conservative, anxious guy. Not politically.
Yeah.
You know. So, SmackDown will be fun for once.
Yeah, we'll bring a couple of $2 beers up, like, for the stream or something.
Tell
like
me a match on this and bring down my mood.
Here, right. Now then. So last week, I'm not a gambling man, and yet I took a pretty big gamble last week. I dared, in the presence of Adam Wilborn, on a microphone, to say that maybe the bloodline is unfinished. And of course, he jumped on that, and he was like, there we go. Like, I'm for saying it, like, it's fine now. Bloodline's fine, it's better than ever. It was pretty good last week, for the first time since WrestleMania. Coincidentally, because Roman Reigns was actually there, and he felt like he had a bit of purpose, because when he kept the belt, because he beat Cody Rhodes, all of a sudden, a lot of this felt a little bit redundant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into all of that again, because, like, all of us that say this will be proved 100% right, and we know this, but, like, it does start to feel whingy after a little bit of a while. The Bloodline felt like it was out of juice, because rather than this being the next development, the WrestleMania decision felt like a bottle job, and every storyline development, if you can even call it that, the Usos losing to Zayn and Owens, Solo Sikoa kind of, like, having his loyalties tested at Backlash, that felt a little bit like, right, we're doing this now because it's in reaction to Roman winning, not because it was maybe going to go perfectly like this.
Yeah.
Last week, with Roman Reigns on SmackDown, as he is again tonight, felt like the first time we'd had any angle advancement since WrestleMania. To recap, Roman Reigns was in the face of the Usos physically at this point for their failures yet again. They would then go on to lose to the LWO, which was quite a nice first big win for the LWO. Like, man, the Usos are really screwed now. They just needed to get this quote-unquote easy win. Couldn't get it done. But Roman was backed down by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who said, look, we're finished with the Bloodline after this weekend. Beating you is at long last going to be able for us to put that in the rear view. Roman felt obviously quite threatened by that. How dare anybody say that? And then turned around and bumped into Solo Sikoa and showed that little bit of, like, fear for the first time. Sami got in Roman's face and said, look, like, we can beat you. We know that. And, like, Roman said, you know, I kind of, gosh, can't. I'm the tribal chief. Like,
yeah.
Like, we're better than you. Like, Solo Sikoa is better than you. And then Roman was like, and then he said, the Usos are better than you. And Roman bristled. Like, if only they watched the TV, if only the Usos, they would see that for themselves. But there's more of that tonight, because Roman Reigns is on the KO show, ahead of, obviously, the match at the weekend. So it's another, and what we would assume, final face-off between the two sides. I like Roman as now the, I don't want him to be champion, it doesn't work, but I like him as the one that needs these belts with Solo for vindication over the Usos specifically. That's absolutely where they have to go. People can say, this story should have been Solo or Jay winning the belt, but it shouldn't. It should have been Cody, but he's clearly chasing consolidation, and I do think KO and Sammy, in terms of a talking segment, this might be it. Like, they go on to be tag team champions after Night of Champions with other rivals.
Are we previewing Night of Champions on a pod?
I think we will be, yes.
Okay, so I will not tell you my idea for the finish.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know how it's going to go, how it's going to get advanced. They might do some kind of further, not a miscommunication with Roman and Solo, but maybe, could he neg Solo now?
I think that might be where this goes.
Yeah, in a bit of a, I got scared. People saw it because this television show actually exists. So I'm going to have to put my foot down and exert control over the situation. So I think we might see something to that effect tonight. I don't want to go too far deep into this in case I give away my idea for the finish at the pay itself. But I'll always find something to complain about. Okay? Usually when I talk about WWE and something I like, it almost invariably has something to do with the talent and, as you say, elevating bad material. I think it was a complete subversion last week where they've done everything right with Solo Sikoa. I think it's an admirable job. I think it's about goddamn time they promoted an NXT talent with conviction folded them into a really intricate storyline, slow build, protected them. That shoulder barge, I did not buy Roman's performance at all.
I said this on the pod, I agree with you. The acting, for how good the Usos comment was, I don't even say that the Usos are better than me, the shoulder one was like too over the top.
It was like, I just didn't buy Solo Sikoa as the one that Roman's really afraid of. Uh-huh. And it's through no fault, really, of the booking. Mm-hmm. They've done a great job every step of the way of establishing Solo Sikoa as this really menacing, in theory, wrestler who just gets the job done. When the Usos are conflicted and they might like Sami Zayn a little bit, Solo's the dependable guy who wins all of the time, pretty much. And it's the boss.
His loss against Cody, he made one mistake and he rectified it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've said this with Solo before. I think he wrestles a big man style without being so big that I'm just blown away by the presence.
Mm.
I think he wrestles to a physique he doesn't have. And I feel like a dickhead for complaining, because if he just spam super kicks or was a hybrid worker, I'd be bored of that as well.
Yeah.
I think facially he's really good. I think that he can brawl, but I don't know, there's a bit of tell don't show with Solo, and again, like, I can't blame them for that. Why wouldn't you tell that story? Why wouldn't you build the future?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you try and get a real powerhouse main event talent out of him? And time will tell, maybe he'll evolve into the role. There's been countless examples of wrestlers who I've thought, you're not him, to use a jargon, the lexicon I'm just far too old to use. Or like, it, you don't have those intangibles.
Yeah.
And they've suddenly just evolved into a wrestler that I'm captivated by.
Mm.
So maybe that will happen with Solo.
The better Solo is, the more Roman's negging works as well, isn't it? So like, if he says, like, I heard what you said last week, and I don't appreciate that, and I'm going to prove that when me and a rookie take your titles off you. That's the kind of like comment, isn't it? Where like, you know, hang on, like, that's a bit strong, Roman.
He's
better than that. Like the,
it's that Austin Rock thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is he raising his eyebrows and doing nursery rhymes?
Yeah.
Because he's over. And Solo's not the Rock, but you know, I don't think he's ever going to be the Rock, but he could. This is where, if WWE wasn't so patterned and it wasn't bound to so many like self-imposed rules, like, if Solo could just, like, bloody people up, he could be the guy who makes people bleed or something.
Yeah.
Like, a little short, it's wrestling, man, it's a work. A few more smoke and mirrors, I think, deviate from the format. If you're trying to tell me he's special, and I'm not still convinced he's that special, then I give him some special treatment, I think.
I wonder...
Like, even more.
Do you think... Because the Usos, I believe, I don't know if I've made this up, but obviously they're not booked. I'm not booked. They're not booked for Night of Champions. I'm sure Roman was like, don't come. Like, I'm sick of the sight of you. Don't. That's a part of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll try and make good? Or do you think by like tonight, say there's like an opportunity for them to beat down Sami and Kevin on this ahead of the... Do you think they'll do it? Or will they not do it and then it'll be like...
Why didn't you do it?
Yeah, their absence will be notable the following week.
Potentially. That's the thing. Like, from in a general wider sense, without really knowing what's going to happen tonight, they've done a very good job of sort of not stubbing all of this out, that there's still some embers there, and they've given themselves lots to work with, and I think it's taken a really good direction.
Yeah. That's not the segue I would have wanted, because we're going to talk about Austin Theory next.
Sorry, God. Roman losing a title match. Can that be, even though he's still got the two world championships, the gold and the silver, him losing a title match is a bit of a cheat code into advancing the story where it should have gone all along?
There's lore here.
And you fold in the Sami thing to finish that story. There's loads that can do here.
The pivot point of, right, we now begin the slow road to Sami leaving the bloodline, was Roman and Sami losing to John Cena and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Roman couldn't sanction that even as part of a team he was defeated, and within weeks you had the trial of Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And Roman was over the stupid Sami fun as soon as they lost, because it was like, I'm in the ring with him and he's putting hell on me.
Yeah.
Like, they could play with that again with the Night of Champions result, yeah. Aye. Austin Theory. He's defending the United States title against Sheamus tonight. I don't hate the match. Last week, Austin Theory came out to cut a promo, did an Austin Theory promo, and then Sheamus just booted his head off, and there's your build. And it was like, it's so weird to me that WWE... Triple H, if it is him, is still booking Austin Theory in that way where it was evident just how much he hated him last summer, and trying to tell you, we fixed him now, he's better.
Yeah, I know.
It's all happening all at once. The John Cena story is the perfect example of that. Gets that match, like, gets that promo the weeks before, and then gets a match which is the physical incarnation of the promo.
Yeah.
Got now out of it. And he's here on SmackDown, I'm that guy, blah, blah, blah. Sheamus just boots him in the face, treats him like nothing. But that makes me think that he just beats him tonight. And then Triple H goes, like, we joke about the Wilborn tweet. See? Like, I treat him like garbage in a segment, and that was the bit you laughed at. But then when you were bored for 15 minutes, he got the pin.
It's like Triple H can't possibly do something forward-thinking, the thing to do, protecting new top star who you have a vision of as the new face of the company, having defeat a really credible established veteran on this great twilight run.
Mm-hmm.
In Sheamus, he still can't do something like that, which is progressive, forward thinking, future thinking, without booking it as if you marks didn't believe I could do it. He's like, why can't you just do it without sort of destroying the guy?
Yeah.
Having people think that, oh, he's destroyed, and now he comes and wins. He could just, like, you know, cheat in a really interesting way or be a conniving bastard. It always has to be break a guy down. Look at me for building them back up again.
Yeah.
I'm great at this, and you're stupid for doubting me. Just don't kick his head off in a segment like that. Triple H is so weird. He's such a defensive, weird man. Here's a story about me. Yesterday, Las Vegas, we get up, storming content morning,
mm-hmm.
Right, very early. Do a podcast. We do two, are you?
Do podcast.
Two podcasts. We head out for dinner in Vegas. I eat a decent amount of food.
Yeah.
Maybe a beer or two.
We filmed some stuff for a very special video. I don't know what I want to say or not, but I'm excited for that.
Without specifying the project, it's a small video on YouTube that we think is going to be quite fun and quite interesting.
It's a bit of us, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of us. So we filmed something on location, mm-hmm. in Las Vegas. We will just keep it like that. So I thought, you know what? Good day, good vibes, lots of work done. Get to the point where I'm tired. Now, American portions, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how hungry I am. I don't know how hungry I'm going to be. So we decide, should we get another nibble here? After a long walk in the sun, because I started getting dry lips, my mouth was shutting, and I'm thinking, I need some energy here, mm-hmm. and I need a drink, and I should probably get some food just in case, like, my body rejects these temperatures. So I got more food, and then we had another really long walk in the still stultifying heat.
If I can just cut in here, I was very, very proud to, like, sometimes the daddlies need dadding, and yesterday, for me to open your eyes to free refills was just such a lovely, warm moment.
I had, like, three massive things of Coke. That's how hot it is here. Like, I could not quench my thirst.
And they don't let us do that in the UK. I whinge about this all the time. Like, America's got soda fountains down pat.
Like, amazing. Yeah. So I was so tired, exhausted, full. Like, my body was just a dry, tired mess. Drank three Cokes. And then we got back to the casino at 9:30. And I thought, should I have some $2 beers? Or should I just keep myself right for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Long way to go yet. And I thought, I'm going to be the sensible guy. Keep myself right for tomorrow. So I went back to the hotel by myself. Put on telly. I thought, let's go through the listings here. American telly. I thought, they're doing a rerun of SmackDown on FS1.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to watch this.
Because it's weird.
It's weird. Yeah. And it's the right time to do it. Does it change my mind about wrestling and all of it? If I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. and I can just settle down and watch it in a night. Austin Theory talks for 5 minutes and I go to sleep. I'm not joking. It just doesn't captivate me.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Yeah. It doesn't make me interested in the next thing he's going to say, because he's doing his, he's not even doing his Wikipedia page a la The Miz. He's doing his internal, like, report, I guess, his report card.
Of, yeah.
I'm the one that they like, and I'm going to show you why they like me, and I'm the face of the company. It's like they give a report card for everyone in there. Established veteran, we don't like to lose too often, but you'll lose the big ones. Top star must never be defeated at any cost on TV, Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And then there's all these tiers, and that's the report card. And Austin Theories is, you are the next face of the company. Don't mess it up, kid.
Ugh.
And then he just talks about that every single week.
Yeah.
They can't tell stories. They can't plot. I've said this a million times. They establish a premise. They establish what a character is about. And it's always very one-dimensional. He's the face of the company. Has he ever been involved in a storyline where
no.
It's not just premise, this is my character, this is what I'm going to do. I have issue with your character and what you say you're going to do. Punch you in the face. Next week, the can't plot or tell an intricate story, and maybe I'm bored to death of Austin Theory saying the same thing over and over again.
Do you know the only time he had a story where like there was you could not make sense of it, or you couldn't hear half of it, was when he was trying to figure out how to impress Vince McMahon, and he would misunderstand or misread his messages, because we all did. Oddly, what does that mean? Who do you want me to attack? Like, prove it, like...
There's the pencil. There's also the razor, aren't you? Screw your fucking name off, you young fucker, win this match. Do the unexpected.
Yeah.
Do the unexpected.
What? Thanks, Vince.
Thanks, Vince. I don't know what's he on about.
I can't remember any other time where there's been, like, sequencing to his work.
Yeah, I remember, SmackDown's not that interesting, when Vince was, like, trying to threaten Austin Theory. I think he must have failed the task and failed to win a match on Raw. And he's like, not the face of the company. And he said something like this, really convoluted, garbled, couldn't even hear what he was saying. Like, stupid threat to, like, I'll string you by your ankles and I'll cut your skin. A WWE enthusiast journal transcribed all of that, which must have taken them minutes because you couldn't hear it, and then transcribed it on Twitter, and then did like four cry laugh emojis. He's the funniest guy of all time. First of all, right, if you in fact can translate Vince, you're still typing it down, cry laugh emojis. Comedy's all in the timing.
Yeah.
This guy registered with Homer Simpson. I get it. Yourself look like Homer Simpson on Twitter.
I get you.
Austin Theory and Vince McMahon. Anyway, what else is on the show?
Well,
the match will be good.
Does Austin Theory win, or do they throw it out and this is like a last minute rematch for Night of Champions?
Oh, potentially. But they do like to keep these things short. Not everyone gets on the card, and I think that's a low key dub for Triple H.
Yep.
Because. With AEW, with WWE over the years, there's no... It's weird. Like, why be benevolent if you're WWE?
Yeah, it's...
Because you're not a benevolent company. Triple H, say, this doesn't need a tag team title match, or this doesn't need a United States Championship match, or this grudge feud that's happening on TV, does it need to go on the pay-per-view? No, it's a nice amount of time, and people like not being exhausted. So maybe it will, maybe it won't. I imagine it'll be cathartic watching Sheamus mess him up a bit.
Yeah, beat to the bodger and stuff. Yes, please, we'll have some of that. I don't know. Right. Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi versus Damage Katarl tonight. Shotzi on Raw saved Raquel from a beating by Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green when the planned four-way tag team title match was, I believe, bumped to next week. I say I believe because we're not unprofessional, but we were in the air slash in transit slash in Heathrow for all of Tuesday before we would have even had a chance to watch. It was virtually 24 hours of travelling. We haven't really had a chance to watch Raw. You catch the basics, the big story beats, etc. But aye, there was no tag title match as we'd previewed when still in England. That's going to happen next week. So this all feels...
Shame that we couldn't watch Raw.
This all feels very formulaic. You've got Damage Katarl doing the... Dakota Kai is now injured, so it's just the two of them. And Bayley is kind of like, no bother, Io Sky. Like, I'll help pick you back up after your backlash loss, even though she caused it. And obviously, Raquel and Shotzi are just the latest, like, make good tag team for Raquel Rodriguez. I've got such mixed...
It's the worst booking of all time.
I've got such mixed feelings on this, right? Traditional wrestling booking says, if you want to protect and preserve a giant and the big moves and the big moments, you put them in tag teams until that person is ready, and then you finally release them from the shackles of a tag team, and they just... Can they go?
Yeah.
Can they be the single star that they looked when they were the big guy in the tag team? Raquel Rodriguez is now with like 14 partners now.
Yeah.
And I like her. I think there was a Royal Rumble performance in there that told everybody that she was just about good to go, and yet they persist with this makeshift tag team nonsense. And isn't it all for just Ronda and Shayna to win the belts anyway? Like, I don't mind that they're folding a Damage Katarl story into this, but elsewhere, like, do they just think the belts are going to be magically fixed on Monday? Because it's not happening, is it?
No, it's not happening. It's not happening. I tell you, I don't give a toss about these belts. Nobody does. Like, the talent, say, like, Bayley, I think in a recent interview was saying, we know they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
We are trying every day to make that happen. And they, like, she doesn't get paid, I don't think, a supplementary booking salary or anything like that.
No.
Or she's like a coach. She tries to mentor people, and she's by all accounts an absolutely wonderful person behind the scenes. But I still can't like or invest or care because Bayley's nice. It's, I guess there's one thing that is finally realising that Damage Control was a massive dud.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Like, was it Shotzi now with Raquel?
She made a save on Raw, yeah.
Of course, they're mates now.
They're partners, yeah. Because obviously she lost Liv Morgan, didn't she?
It's a load of absolute bobbins rubbish.
There was identity.
And the matches will be absolutely, eerie in terms of how quiet they'll be.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe not if it's taped, because obviously they can press the button as much as they want.
Oh, I find that eerie.
Even more so than when it's live.
I find that very eerie.
Yeah. There was identity, I will say, there was identity to Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan's team. It was Ricochet and Braun Strowman's. But it was good, it was quite fun. They had the same idea, but it was quite effective. So I think that team was almost a team. But otherwise, it's like this is bordering into Night Champion stuff, so I'll keep this short. But Natalia doing this legacy nonsense to get the feud with Rhea Ripley, she just finds partners to have tag matches in which she loses.
Yeah, I know.
How is somebody like a legacy performer worthy of title shots when that's the arc that just repeats itself?
Yeah.
So, but do you think babyfaces win, Damage Katarl is still dissension in the ranks, that sort of thing? Like, Bayley there to facilitate those guys, I'm sick of this nonsense babyface doing, is pretty good, isn't it? Because the match, there's a story. I think it's a pretty decent story and match and feud there.
Yeah, I would have them both as babyfaces.
Me
which
too.
Which is the thing.
Yeah.
But I've given up on that with Bayley, so.
Yeah. All right. I'm saving a match to last because I love the idea of you not knowing it's happening until I get to tell you it. So we'll come to this last. So we'll just do a bit of a speculative fantasy booking. LA Knight and Rick Boogs had the tag team that felt doomed, and it was.
Yeah.
LA Knight turned on him straight away. Rick Boogs is lovely and affable, but LA Knight right now feels just in that too good to fail zone. And he didn't...
Oh, hang on. 4 hours I was up before intended.
Get in. Yeah. Then
I got 7 hours at least last night.
We set alarms because it is so hot here, and if the nights do go later, we've been busy. So goddamn professional that we don't be up too late, because we became aware the other day that the time difference means that by the time we record the podcast, we're about 4 hours behind when we typically drop them
in
the
UK. I know.
Hadn't even considered it, so...
And the time difference, that's fine. It catches us out every single day.
Yeah. No wonder Hogan worked 400 dates that year. I get it now.
Oh, it's possible.
I get it now,
it's
brother.
It's possible.
LA Knight and Rick Boogs. LA Knight is just a force of will guy at this point. He is... getting over big. You can feel it. Something is bubbling under there. Like Money in the Bank season is upon us, and it just, he's feeling like that guy. So I don't know how well this can go, because Rick Boogs isn't a heel, and LA Knight is in this feud, if it's going to be a feud or whatever. You got any thoughts on where this goes with the two characters? Like,
none
at all.
Like, I've got no thoughts.
That's fair. Like, in my notes, it just say, LA Knight turned on Rick Boogs. Got out on that. That is a bit how it feels, because like this one cannot last. Like, LA Knight's getting over. And the last thing he can... I know he's an arsehole, and that's the point. And he's like he, what he hasn't done is, like, remember the Elias thing that was just dropped? When's Elias going to turn on Rick Boogs?
Yeah,
never. It's been dropped. Like, at least he turned on him straight away.
Yeah.
I'll give you one match to not be a weird screw-up.
If I'm going to be generous and think that there's a certain disgraced former founder does not really see what people see in LA Knight, and they are just making him do rubbish heel programs because... You know, they just don't like him, and they don't want to turn him, and they don't want him to be a star.
He's the father-son turf war guy at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah,
where you can see the chess is trying to be played with LA Knight.
If I was being generous, I'd say, but what they can't do very often without the help of Paul Heyman is, like, these long, intricate... Oh, they're telling a story, and I think that's where it's going, and I'm happy to be on the journey with them.
Mm.
Maybe they just go, right, because we are incapable of that, because we're the Fed, if we just have LA Knight do heal LA Knight things and just turn him...
Yeah,
Money in the Bank, or after he's got the briefcase, or whatever. Maybe they're just doing nothing with him, with the idea of, oh, they still like him.
Mm.
We'll just do something with him.
Yeah,
but either this long, intricate storyline that I've talked about isn't happening because that happened last week.
Aye.
And who could possibly give it to us?
Well, anyway, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But don't worry, Sitch. Like, it's not listed as the main event, but I imagine on the show it will be, because I mean, it's just a big deal. AJ Styles in his last physical act before the. Fighting for that, like...
Tune-up.
Yeah, like, final tune-up before he fights for that thing off www.shop.com against Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. You know, so he's going to go to Saudi Arabia in form. But how? Because he's taking on Karrion Kross.
Oh, my God.
AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross.
Like, I'm not being funny. Again, with Karrion Kross, if I
was... We called him Alan last week, by the way, so like, I think he knows people's psyches.
If I was a booker and Karrion Kross is on my roster, I might, because of the look, give him a proper singles push.
Uh-huh.
And then I think 3 years after that didn't go well, I would start to assess my options and think, right, okay, what's he got? He can talk. He looks scary. You know, why can't you put him in a tag team? He's not a singles guy. He couldn't have a good match with Rey Mysterio. Like, I try not to punch down or be nasty. A lot of his work for me doesn't look convincing. I don't think he's a particularly dynamic performer. He's not one of those big guys. And the standard for a big guy has been... We watched Willie Mack versus Brian Cage.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because sometimes the basics doing right can be beautiful. But I don't necessarily think he can do that either.
We also saw Big Bill, and he can't do that either.
Yeah.
Like, there's
the only thing he's got, they won't let him do it. He's got an app. He's perfected the living hell out of that Saito.
Mm-hmm.
That looks great.
Yeah.
Can't he be in a heel tag team and just do that Saito as his like prominent thing?
Mm-hmm. That's quite Triple H, is like.
It's just no, it doesn't. He doesn't accentuate the positives.
Now you look at this tag division, like Ricochet and Braun Strowman is kind of inspired.
Okay,
you
know, yeah.
I think it, like I could if he wants. Like you know what? Now you say that, I'm surprised he hasn't done it, because Karrion Kross feels like an enormous Triple H L.
Yeah.
What were you doing, Paul?
Yeah.
Like, everyone could have told you this.
I'll put him in a tag team. And it's one of those where, because he's got no credibility...
You could team with Titus O'Neil, and then they could be called Fallen Prey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got him!
It's almost Force of Willborn-esque, man. Yeah. I would put him in a tag team. He's not a singles guy, and his character has no credibility. So, as a result, right, if it was this really scary guy... That's my emergency alarm... Thing is, the one day I don't put one on and think, I'm going to end this farce.
Yeah.
I'll sleep in. Uh-huh. That's how my mind works. I haven't slept in like 8 years. Too neurotic to sleep in. I don't think I ever have.
Kids changed my body clock forever. There's no coming back from that.
My useless neurotic brain changed my body clock when I was about. I realised that, you know, life's hard. Probably after uni.
Yeah.
Probably after uni.
I, as well, like, do you not find out, like, Lions are great, but like this is, we're maybe speaking to parents or again people that just don't sleep well, but like a lie-in at this point is as a result of preposterous exhaustion elsewhere.
Yeah.
It means you've badly lost hours somewhere else that you need to, and it's like, and a lie-in is like, even then it's only like maybe sort of like 9, 10 o'clock or something. Yeah. Not what people consider it, but yeah, you wake up and you think, oh, so my body just physically would not be awake.
Yeah.
I've pushed it, or sleep doesn't work now that like I've like given it too much and it's needing to sleep. It's like a phone going to zero rather than 5%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aye.
So if Karen Cross
feels great. Don't get old, anybody.
Don't get old. Do not get old. Because you don't even get the benefits of being tired.
Nah.
You get more and more tired, but then less and less sleep.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So cool.
So Karen Cross' thing is that he's like, an omen of your, a harbinger of your own doom. Is symbolised by the tarot card.
Yes.
If he was this awesome, destructive force, really dynamic, like a Goldberg but a heel sort of thing, or like with his submission that he does, if that looked like it was genuinely choking people and not, you know, like he's mixing the decks.
The ones and twos.
Yeah. You'd think, ooh, that tarot card means something, right? And you think, oh, right, this person is in trouble. As foretold by the prophecy. When he gives AJ Styles a tarot card the other week, I'm thinking, well, that means, does it mean good luck?
Yeah.
It's a good luck token.
Like, yeah.
Well, you're it's probably going to go all
you're
right.
You're get a big win before Saudi Arabia. Is this? Yeah. He lost to Nakamura before Nakamura left for Raw. It was like Triple H, like, I must title this TV feud.
Yeah.
And Nakamura's already been beaten on Raw. It's not like he went over to Raw to be a hot, like, no more contender for the title.
Book, man, I keep telling you this. Why it's the card thing that just makes me laugh. It's not doing what it's meant to do. So why are you doing it? Just making them look like a joke. Here it is, your doom. Cheers. It's like we are in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. just to tie this up, right?
Yeah.
And you're walking down the strip, you can see a 100-story bottle of Coke. You can see roller coasters in hotels.
Yeah.
You can see the Bellagio fountains. You've got all of this to look at, all of this to process, all of this to assess. And God bless them. But there are people trying to make a living who are saying, come to this show.
Mm.
Or here's a token for this. Or here's an advert for this. And you're like, I just want to get to where I need to go. I don't need to spend any more money where I don't need to spend it. Or I'm not interested in this good or service.
Yeah.
And they try a hand, you just go, no, stop. Sorry, no. And you move straight on.
Yeah.
That's what the wrestlers do to the Karrion Kross tarot card. It is, though, isn't it? No, you're all right.
That's funny.
I'm going to kill you with this. No, you're all right, you won't. I will not. I'm not interested in this good of service. It's not going to have any effect on me. I'm not doing it. That's what this tarot card stuff is.
You've nailed that there. Because, as well, some of Karrion Kross's work looks like one of them statuesque street performers that don't move.
I was being a little bit nicer than that.
Yeah,
he's got a good sight, oh man. Put him in a tag team. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, let's put him in a tag team. Let's put him in a tag team tonight on SmackDown, which you can watch live with us.
Yes.
On What Culture's YouTube channel, myself, Sidgwick, and Phil and Miller, the people you'd actually want to watch the show with rather than us miserable little bastards. But yes, please join us for the live stream tonight on SmackDown. I believe we'll probably confirm this on the stream later. We're going to do that for Night of Champions as well. We're going to check time differences as well. But
that's a maybe.
Yeah, that's a nice opportunity for us Brits to be able to experience SmackDown the way that a lot of our American listeners do. So yeah, join us along for that tonight. There'll be a SmackDown review podcast as well, dropping shortly after that. We'll be doing Night of Champions preview stuff. We'll be doing Double or Nothing preview stuff. Of course, we're here in Las Vegas for the remainder of the Double or Nothing weekend. I can't believe I'm going to say this, we're probably not going to have time to slot in NXT Battleground stuff. So we might have to all get back together with Wilborn to talk about that on next week's NXT preview.
Yes.
There will be discussion on that eventually, but yes. Thank you, as always, for listening on your podcast provider of choice.
We'll be flying on Tuesday.
Oh, God.
We're doing the double review on NXT.
How will we find time for Battleground? Yeah.
You can do that. I'm off on Wednesday.
I watched that on the plane.
I'm off on Wednesday.
I watched Battleground on the plane. But yes, thank you for listening to us, especially on weekends like this where we find ourselves in Las Vegas, primarily as a result of you listening. We couldn't appreciate you more. If you want to follow what we're up to in Vegas on Twitter and just general wrestling crap, you can do at WhatCultureWWE. You can also follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can find me at Michael Hamflett. Until the next time, we will see you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.